Chapter 1 Slicker and Snot, Section 1 Chief Warrant Officer Al Mack sat behind the left controls of a Chinook helicopter, heading southeast along a crest through a brilliant moonrise. As he flew through the night, the terrain reminded him of Mordor and Mount Doom in the Lord of the Rings movies. He told people, "Imagine landing on that at night without a light. And if a landing zone isn't big enough, what you do is set the aircraft's aft gear down, hover, and several thousand feet below you is the bottom, with no visual reference. Put the ramp down, guys get out." Take away some of the bluster, and that was what Mac was about to do on the 10,240-foot peak of Takur Gar. He was happy to be moving again, after frustrations that aggrieved even a 16-year Army veteran. Earlier, he had ferried his Chinook, codenamed Razor 03, down from Bagram Air Base near Kabul to a temporary special operations airfield. He was working Operation Anaconda, the largest military offensive thus far in America's fight against Al-Qaeda terrorists in Afghanistan, which had kicked off, depending on who was doing the counting, either the previous day or 2 days before. He'd been dropping off special operations teams in the mountains on both sides of the Shah-i-Kot Valley, often relying for guidance on outdated maps and imagery. Since before midnight, he had been trying to deliver Mako 30, his customers, to a landing zone at the base of Takur Gar, the highest mountain in the area. On his first try, only 6 minutes away from the LZ, he had asked a nearby Spectre gunship circling over the valley to take a look with its sensors at the landing zone to see if it was clear of hostile forces.
"I can't look at your LZ," the Spectre's fire control officer told him. "There's a B-52 strike coming in."
And the gunship, with a wide, looping orbit, had to push off until it was safe to return, probably in less than an hour.
"Okay," Mac had replied, with no real good choice but to suck it up and return to where they had picked up the SEALs.
He was aware of the importance of delivering his customers to their offset LZ in a timely manner, and what it could mean for the revised plan for Operation Anaconda. In mission preparation, he'd been vested in the ground-air tactical plan and knew exactly what his customers and his higher commanders needed from him. That was why his frustration peaked when a glance told him that he was running low on gas. He always planned his missions with precision, calculating a gas supply sufficient to get him through a task with 15 minutes to spare for emergencies and nothing more. Over all the hours Mac had flown Chinooks, he had achieved a nearly perfect spiritual fusion of man with machine. It came as no surprise that he admitted to a deep fondness for the bird. He saw charm and personality in its homely design. Veterans like him sometimes compared the Hilo to a Winnebago with rotors, and indeed it was little more than a rectangular box with big fans in front and back, about 50 feet long and weighing in at around 40,000 pounds. To anyone else's eye, it was not sleek and it was not pretty. It had bumps and a weak chin, spindly legs, and a haystack sticking out the corner of its mouth. Mac's version of the Chinook was a model, the MH-47E, made by Boeing and specifically configured at a significant cost for special operations missions. Several enhancements helped the 24 copies ever made to fly where and when other helos could not. Instead of circling and wasting fuel until the B-52 pointed for home, Mac flew 22 miles back to the grubby and nearly abandoned airstrip where they had started, outside Gardez. He sat on the ground and waited in the dark, keeping the rotors at flat pitch to burn less fuel, like idling the engine of a car. Finally, the bomber pulled off, and the Chinook took off. But it had not gained more than 1,000 feet when Mac was told,
"Razor 03, there's an air assault coming in. You need to abort and go back to Gardez and wait."
Saving on gas, this time Mac shut down the aircraft with the expectation that they would be on the ground for a while. Slab put out security around the aircraft. He understood the urgency to put a cork stopper in that valley, but reaching the peak